Next, going back into the backyard, Kevin checked the homestead's work barn. The Unimog U500 looked ready to tackle anything. So did the Bobcat 5600T Toolcat utility vehicle, with its large selection of attachments lined up neatly besides those for the Unimog. The three-wheel hydraulic cherry picker unit used in the orchard was off to one side, parked next to the Rokan two-wheel drive motorbike and the trailer used with it. Leaving the barn, Kevin went to the large greenhouse where salad vegetables were grown year-round, along with exotics that wouldn't grow outside even in summer. Only about half of the space was in use at the moment. Half of what was in use was salad makings, with the other half growing miniature citrus fruits, oranges, lemons, and limes, plus bananas, all in containers. The woodsheds were filled to capacity with split firewood, most of it already well aged. The garden shed was in pristine shape. Moving to the front yard along one side, Kevin inspected the wild roses. Grown as much for the rose hips as for decoration, the thorny plants, like the blackberries, were a perimeter barrier. Though most of the nut trees were in the orchard, the four huge old black walnut trees and the other six at various heights Kevin had noticed driving up. They too were in good shape. So was the Kentucky bluegrass of the front yard. It was one of the few grasses tolerant of the black walnut's allelopathic effects that prevented many other types of plants from growing near the trees. Already feeling at home, Kevin went back inside the house and into the kitchen. Samantha, wearing a simple apron over her blouse and jeans, was just preparing a tray to take up to Polly. "I'll get yours as soon as I get back down," Samantha told Kevin. "That's okay. I can serve myself." Samantha frowned, but nodded and headed out of the kitchen. Kevin hadn't noticed the frown. He prepared himself a sandwich from the bowl of chicken salad on the counter and dipped up a bowl of chicken noodle soup. It didn't look like canned soup, nor taste like it when he tried it at the kitchen table. Samantha came down a few minutes later and began to fuss around the kitchen. "Aren't you going to eat something?" Kevin finally asked. "When you're finished," she replied. "Don't be silly. Grab a sandwich and bowl of soup and sit down and enjoy them. This is very good, by the way." "Just soup and sandwich," Samantha said, hesitating where she was. But after that moment of hesitation, she prepared her own lunch and sat down across the table from Kevin. "The place looks great," Kevin said between bites. "You've been doing a great job in the garden and greenhouse." "It comes naturally," Samantha said. "My mother and Aunt Polly grew up on a farm. Mother passed the skill on to me, and Aunt Polly gives me advice." "Ah," Kevin said. "From the looks of things, the others have been doing their job just as well as they did before Great-Gramps died." "Aunt Polly made sure of it with the help of Mr. McQuire. He made sure there was always money in the homestead account, and Aunt Polly paid the bills every month. I've been doing the same." "How is Mr. McQuire?" "Not well, I'm afraid," Kevin replied, his face showing his concern. "He's very frail now. About all he does now is work on his stamp collection, eat, sleep, and watch the financial and political news. I wish he'd stop watching the news. It upsets him as often as not." "It upsets me, too. I think it does many people," Samantha said. "I suppose so. I'm not too political, and with the way Great Gramps set things up, I'm not too worried about financial matters." "I suppose not," Samantha replied. Kevin sensed a bit of disapproval in Samantha. "Going to have to be now, though," he continued. "Uncle Mac doesn't need the hassle of even this one account to deal with." Kevin was pleased to see that the disapproval in Samantha disappeared. "That's good," she said. "A person should be in charge of their own fates and finances." "Can't argue that." "Well, this was very good, Samantha. I'll leave you to clean up. I want to unpack the Jeep and trailer and get settled in." "I'll freshen the master bedroom suite for you," Samantha said, getting up without finishing her lunch. "That's okay. It'll wait a bit. Finish your lunch. I'll just get things moved to the porch." Samantha sat back down. There had been a note of command in Kevin's voice. He meant what he said. Kevin was whistling when Samantha came out 20 minutes later. He was just setting down a large tote on the porch. "I'll start taking things up to your room," Samantha said, squatting down to pick up the tote. She grunted, and Kevin said, "I'll get the totes. They're pretty heavy." Silently, Samantha agreed. Her opinion of Kevin jumped slightly. Despite his light, rangy-looking frame, he was strong. He was handling the totes easily. She was pretty strong herself, but glad to let Kevin handle them while she carried the lighter items. Another 20 minutes and everything was moved upstairs to the master suite, or in the case of most of the totes, the basement. "I can put things away for you," Samantha offered, setting down the last suitcase. She got the answer she expected. "That's okay, I can manage." Kevin was already in the process of opening up a garment bag. Samantha left silently. Kevin turned to catch a last glimpse of her as she went out the door. Stop.